Although oftentimes he gave us identity with the nature of those creations, he told the disciples, I'm going to make you fisher of men. He told us that if we wait on the Lord, we would mount up with wings like eagles. But he didn't make us like eagles, and he didn't make us like fish, and he didn't make us like sheep. He made us different for one reason. One reason. And that is this. I don't care how awesome an eagle is, and it can soar higher than any other bird created by God. Over the high peak mountains, snow-capped mountains, an eagle will never pause in the sky and say, that's amazing. A whale will never go to the depths of the ocean and see all the coral and all the colors and all of the different little schools of fish moving. And a whale will never pause and say, wow. But God created us so we could wake up every day and tell God, wow, what an awesome God you are. Wow, what a mighty God you are. Amen. You can be seated in this place. Amen. It is definitely one of my favorite things to do in life is not just to preach, but to preach at the Potter's House North. I could preach a lot of places, but I love this place. I told the first service, and I'll tell the second service, there are home changers, community changers, city changers, state changers, nation changers, church changers, world changers. But aren't you glad you're being pastored by life changers? They're not just changing communities and cities and worlds, but they are changing lives. And you're one of them. Do you really appreciate Bishop Joby Brady and Pastor Cheryl Brady at the Potter's House North? Aren't you blessed? Aren't you blessed? Amen. Pastor Travis was with us a few months ago, and I mean he preached the glory down at Judah Church. Pastor Cheryl was with us. She preached, I'm telling you, I was absolutely paralyzed in my seat as she preached on kingdom connections and how important kingdom connections are. And I'm telling you right now, I told my church, I'm in a series right now called Can You March With Me during the month of March? Can you march with me? I said, because at the end of this month, God is going to remove some of you. And if he don't remove some of you, I might have to. I said, because let me tell you what kind of church we are. We're a church that invites everyone, but we don't have to keep everybody. Y'all got quiet right there. Aren't you glad you're not in Orlando? Because I told my church, united we stand, divided you leave. We won't be divided. And if we're not divided, we can't be conquered. How many are glad for unity in the body of Christ? Amen. I've got some product in the back. I won't bother you with all of that. I was selling product the other day. I was at a large church, and a lady came up to me. She said, I can't remember the last time I've ever bought a CD. She said, I don't buy CDs. She said, that's for old people. I don't buy CDs. I looked at her, and I said, well, why aren't you naked? She said, excuse me? I said, well, you buy clothes. She said, yeah. I said, well, get you behind over there and buy a shirt. Because I found out if people ain't going to buy CDs, you got to sell clothes. How many are glad for clothes? Anybody wear hats? Brother, you look like you need a hat. Come here. See? See, he needs a hat. See, that when your head like that, you need a hat. You say, why would I need a hat with a head like that? to keep the mystery going. Does it, don't it, does it, don't it, does it, don't it? You look good, man. Look at that. And when somebody asks you about that hat, you tell them, I'm a praiser. And so we've got some Judah shirts and hats back there. Can I sing one song for y'all? Is that all right? And I've got a brand new album coming out in July, but today, I don't know, the Lord just let an old song on my heart I wrote. I wrote this song 24 years ago. I didn't record it for 8 years after I wrote it. And I was just sitting in my hotel this morning, and I just put my CD on, and for some reason, I mean my phone on, and for some reason in my library, this song just popped on. And so I was invited my mom and my dad to come stay with me for their vacation in Florida 24 years ago. And they came to Orlando, and they were so excited because for the first time, they got to really see our church, and they were all excited. And the night, Sunday night after I preached, my daddy came in my bedroom and shook me real hard. It was about 3 or 4 in the morning. He said, come quick. Your mom needs some help. And I thought maybe she needs me to go to Walgreens or CVS for something. She might be nauseated or something. And I went in there, and my mother was lifeless. She wasn't moving. She wasn't breathing. I pulled her out of my guest bed, laid her on the floor, and in front of my children began to give her mouth-to-mouth resuscitation while my father sat in the corner in shock. She was 56 years old. I will be 56 next year. I turn 55 in April. I will be as old as she was when she left me. I'll never forget sitting in that room at the Apopka, Florida hospital. The nurses said, do you want to spend any time with your mom? I said, please. And I sat in that room by myself. None of my family members wanted to go in. And there was a clipboard at the base of my mama's bed. And Bishop, I took that clipboard, and there was a pin tied to the top of that clipboard. And I turned the paper over, and I felt the enemy try to discourage me because I had only been pastoring for 1 year. And I heard the devil speak to me, because the devil will kick you when you're down. And I heard the devil speak to me and said, where's your praise now? Where's your big worship now? Why don't you shout now? I don't hear no, I can't get no help up in here now. Where's all your praise and where's your towel and where's your push your neighbor and touch somebody? He said, where's your Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead? Try it out. That's what the enemy was speaking in my ear. But the Bible says no weapon formed against you will prosper. And you know what I found out? I was mad at God because I thought that word prosper meant it wasn't going to do what the devil wanted it to do. And I found out that's the truth, but in a different context. That word prosper means, watch this, it will not get its expected end. In other words, the devil forms a weapon to make me quit. Not to hurt me so I'll be in pain. He knows I'll be in pain. Not to kill me. Time will do that. Not to take stuff from me. Issues do that. He wants me to stop stepping into my purpose. So the weapon he formed did not prosper because 25 years later, I'm still praising and I'm still preaching and I'm still worshiping. And I know I'm not in the popular crowd anymore with the music and the praise and worship. And I'm not all that cool stuff like all the cool people out there now and the things. But sometimes it's just good to go back to when you first felt God. That's all I got. But I thought it was important to let you know when, where, and what I was going through when I wrote the words to this song today. Can I sing it for you? Turn it up in my monitor, the track a little bit, please. Amen. Just give me a little bit more. Yeah, that's good right there. It's not a hard song. I just wrote these words right here. I said, Lord, I praise you. Yes, I do. And Lord, I glorify your name. Lord, I praise you. Oh, yeah. Lord, I glorify your name. Yes, I do. Come on, tell him I praise you. Lord, I glorify your name. Lord, I glorify your name. Lord. Yes, I do. I glorify your name. And Pastor Cheryl, I just wrote this down. I said, if the sun says I will rise, if dark clouds fill my sky, Lord, just know that I will always give you praise. And when troubles are I glorify your name. Whoa. I glorify your name. Lord, I praise you. Come on, Potter's house. Tell him, Lord, I glorify your name. I glorify. And if the sun says I will rise, if dark clouds my sky, Lord, just know that I will always give you praise. And when troubles are the way, I will always say, no matter come what may, I'll always give you praise. Can you lift up one hand and say, Lord, I praise you. Just know that I will always give you praise. And when troubles on the way, I will always say, no matter come what may, I'll always give you praise. Is anybody going through a storm? Lift your head and say, up your voice and say, praise, praise. Come on, say it with me. Yeah. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. This is the day that the Lord has made. I rejoice and be glad in it, yeah. somebody's walking through a storm right now, and the enemy wants to know if he's going to steal your voice. But you need to let the devil know, I'll give you all the praise. Yes, I will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If it takes prosperity to get a praise out of you, you're not qualified. But if you'll praise Him in the midst of a storm and a problem, you're qualified for promotion. Everybody's standing on your feet. Amen. I do realize time is escaping us, and it's I'm going to go quick today, quicker than I did the first service, because I just like second service people a little better. I have first service people and second service people in Orlando. First service people know you got to quit. They can act like they come to church by faith and all that kind of stuff, but They got one of these on the Lord. Say, I need a miracle, but do it in an hour and 27 minutes. You have your Bibles. Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah chapter 4. Y'all sound like Judah Church. When I say my scripture, folks, that's what I love about black folk. Y'all don't even know what I'm going to preach. I say Nehemiah. All right. All right. Hey. Nehemiah 4, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was ticked off. That's my translation. Nobody else added that. Took great indignation and mocked the Jews, and he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they really revive? What has ended up in rubbish, which are burned. Mark chapter 22, verse 31 reads, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Can you bring it up for me, TV? Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. I want to speak to you this morning briefly on this subject. You will bounce back. Come on, tell somebody that looks like they are for you and say, neighbor, you will bounce back. You can be seated. This is an odd combination because we find in the Old Testament that we are talking about a man named Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah. God is instructing him, leading him, guiding him, impressing him to be a restorer of the wall for the rubble and the destruction of the city that once held God's people in it. So Nehemiah is being led by God to restore what has been destroyed. You must understand that in this battle, Nehemiah had two things happening to him. Number one, he had an internal struggle. There was a wrestling internally with him because all of the kids that were in the tribes, they were in captivity, Pastor. Bishop, they were captive. And so, you know, there's an old saying, and it went all the way back to Nehemiah, if you can't beat them, join them. So children, the Judean children were ended up marrying these girls that were from the Ammonites and the Backbites and the Gossipites and the, I don't know all those ites. But what Nehemiah's struggle internally was is, how do I take this group of people that were once under God's authority, hand, and voice, but now they have chased idolatry and different gods? How do I restore? It's one thing to restore a wall. It's another thing to restore the people that go inside the wall. And Nehemiah has an internal struggle, but then he has an external struggle from a man named Sanballat. The name Sanballat in the Hebrew means strength. So Nehemiah's enemy is not a weak enemy, it is a strong enemy. It is one that is coming against him. Anybody that will mock you already thinks they can beat you. But you know what I love? The devil is not always as bad as he thinks he is. Because the Bible says Nehemiah was mocked in public, but whenever Sanballat got in private, he said, "Now, y'all, tell me the truth. Can they do this? Somebody talk to me. Somebody talk back to me. Are y'all sure? Oh, they're crazy. They can't do it." So God is utilizing Nehemiah for a restoration of that which had tumbled and was in destruction. You go into the new covenant, and the Bible says that in the new covenant, Jesus is sitting around a table with 12 disciples. But he knows, Bishop, that within a few hours, this thing called the church that he had established, the followers, the thousands that followed him, was about to crumble like stones out of a wall. Because whenever he is crucified on Calvary, those followers, those disciples will become like ants of a kicked pie. Going everywhere. Jesus is talking to the 12 disciples. He's trying to decide, who am I going to select that is going to be a leader in this situation? You can imagine his frustration, because he needs somebody that's able to rebuild this destructive situation, which is the church. When I'm gone, who's gonna put it back together? And he looks around the room, and you know it had to pop in his head, because while he's thinking, the Bible says these 12 guys are arguing who's the greatest among them. Ain't that something? They're arguing about it, and so Jesus says, he turns to the mouth that is going to bring a voice to the monarchy, and he looks at the guy that has the greatest voice in the room, which is Simon Peter, and he begins to talk to Simon Peter because he wants to give him instruction. And I want to leave you today in the next 20 minutes with four things that this text, that I can extract from this text for your life. Are y'all all right? Everybody okay? All right. And then we can all go to Whataburger. And I want to extract four things out of this text. He speaks to Simon. If TV could do it, put up verse 31 again. He does something that's unusual here. He says, he speaks to him and tells him, "Simon, Simon, The devil has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Now listen to me carefully. The first thing I want you to understand is when I looked at this verse, I found out don't let the old you destroy your new purpose. Wait. I'm going to break that down for you a little bit. When it's time to rebuild something and put it back together, some things that worked in the past may not work in the future. Are y'all with me today? So don't let the old you steal and destroy the new purpose. But see, when I begin to read this text, I got a problem with Jesus. Now, you may promise me something, Bishop. You may tell me you're going to do something, and I hang my faith on it. I hang my hopes on it. But the truth of the matter is, I'm not going to quit if you don't live up to your word. But if you ever question God's word, you know you're in trouble when you start trying to question God's word. But when I saw this text, Pastor Cheryl, it messed me up a little bit because I looked at it and I said, wait a minute, this is after Jesus has talked with the disciples. Y'all remember this, that several chapters earlier, Jesus is talking to him and says, who do men say that I am? And they say, well, some say you're Elias, some say you're this, Isaiah, John, who this. But Jesus says, yeah, but who do you think that I am? And here comes Simon. Simon steps up and says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And God says, watch this. Jesus says, he says, Simon, blessed are you because flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. But my Father, which is in heaven. He said, and from this day forward, he said, your name shall not be called Simon, but it shall be called Petros, Peter, rock. Now, wait a minute. So you move two or three chapters later, and Jesus is contradicting his own word. Jesus looks across the table and says what he told everybody else to quit doing. He does it. Y'all quiet on me this morning. Wouldn't you call somebody a hypocrite if they kept doing what they told you not to do anymore? Well, I caught Jesus. I said, Jesus, I had a conversation with the Lord. I said, Lord, why did you break your own commandment and call him Simon whenever you said his name had been changed to Peter? And the Lord spoke back to me, Pastor Cheryl, and he said, the reason I called him Simon is because I didn't need to talk to Peter. I thought more than five or six would catch what I'm saying. In other words, this is what Jesus was telling me. I don't care how saved you get, there'll still be some Simon left in you after you give your heart to the Lord. And ladies, don't get all high and mighty because it's Simon. There's some Simone left in you too. Are y'all in this place today? Because I have found out as a pastor that if you come touch me under the anointing and you start causing me issues while I'm in the altar under the anointing, I've got enough grace, enough mercy, and enough sense to walk away from somebody that's trying to cause me some headache and some issues. But if you catch me at the mall, Clint can become Clintisha at the mall and go off on somebody. I don't know. Because there, I don't care how long I live, there will always be two of me in here. Oh, y'all don't want to tell the truth. Somebody said, well, I just don't have violence in me. Let me grab your child by the hair and drag him across this thing, and we'll see how graceful you are. You'll come up out of there. Let me take my earring. There are two of you in there. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, don't let the old you steal the purpose of the new you. God wants to do something in your future, and sometimes he's got to talk to the old you so that he can get to the new you and get it all straight. I'm about to jump down there and tell you what I feel about it. In other words, you got to look at the scripture. Jesus looks at Peter after Peter says, you're the Christ. Jesus says, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. You can bind stuff on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. You can loose stuff on earth, it'll be loosed in heaven. And Peter, by the way, if two of you touch the same thing, it shall be done. And I said, Lord, you mean I got to go find somebody else? He said, no, I was talking to Simon and Peter and said, if y'all can just get your stuff together. If I can get the old you, the old attitude, the old mentality, to get in unity with the new you, the new mentality, everything you touch. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, I love you. I appreciate you, but I don't need you to get what I want. I can get it, me, myself, and God. Don't, y'all sit down, I'm white. Don't let the old you. Every now and then when I'm tested, I gotta remind myself who I am. Because the devil can steal your future with a moment of old you. Ah, Lord. Simon. Simon. There's always some Simon left in you. I don't care how holy you get. That's why I thank God for grace. Anybody need any grace in here today? Come on, y'all. I grew up in a church where everything was a sin. Everything. I mean, you know how, see how beautiful this is? And y'all have banners and words and seminars and conferences and slogans. If we had a banner in our church, which they didn't believe in, but if we'd have had one, it'd have just said, no. Can we have a TV? No. Can we go to the movie? No. Can women cut their hair? No. Can't get a weave either. That's adding. And the scripture says you cannot add. Oh, no, we covered all the black folk. No, 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 no. And they told all the women in our church, you wear that makeup, you going to hell. I grew up, I'm 55. No, you just look like hell if you ain't got no makeup on. You ain't going to hell. Don't let the old you steal the purpose of the new you. Okay, here's number two. Here's number two. Y'all not gonna like this one, but y'all not gonna like this one. But I gotta say it. God will allow satanic attacks for kingdom advancement. God will allow a satanic attack to have a kingdom advancement. Somebody ain't gonna like this either, but I'm just gonna tell you something, because I met a lady the other day and she blew my mind. She'd been in my church for 16 years, and I preached. She said, you know, Bishop, she came up to me, she said, you know what? I said, what? She said, you know, I just gotta say, she said, you always preaching about trouble and trials and overcoming and walking through stuff and going through stuff and surviving stuff and all that kind of stuff. She said, I love you and everything, but she said, I don't have to deal with all that. She goes, I'm just telling you. I'm just being honest with you. I ain't got no issues and adversity and all that kind of stuff. I said, let me tell you something. It just came out of my mouth. I said, if you and the devil have never had a head-on collision, that means y'all going the same direction. Let me come over here to the right side where all the spiritual folk are. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? If somebody ain't trying to tackle you, y'all on the same team. Don't tell me there's no adversity and trouble and trials. The Bible said in this life you will have trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. God says, I will use satanic attacks to use it to advance the kingdom. Because I'm going to tell you something. Wherever there's sanctification, there's a satanic presence there too. Because I found out as a pastor, the devil comes to church just like saints come to church. But I came to tell the devil today, no matter what you do, I will bounce back. Satan told God, he said, I've tried to mess with everybody. God said, what do you mean? He says, I'm roaming to and fro, can't find nobody to mess with because you got a hedge around them. Whoa, I got excited when I saw that, because what that means is if the devil got in, access in, he only got access because God allowed him to get in. And if God let him get in like he did, it's not to take something from me, but it's to add something to me, because he didn't call it subversity, he called it adversity. High five your neighbor, say, neighbor, it'll be worth it. When you're walking out with double for your trouble. Oh, I wish somebody would hear me up in here. David needed Samuel to prove to Jesse he was the anointed one. David needed Jesse to prove to his other sons that he was going to stand by what God said. But David would have never made it over Israel if he wouldn't have faced a giant in his future. So God lets trouble show up so trouble can take you up. Look at somebody and say, I will bounce back. I'm almost done. Simon, Simon. You know Simon's a little ticked off because you told me my new name was Peter. Now you trying to pull me back. You can't let go of the past. He says, Satan requested access. You would expect Jesus to say, but he ain't gonna get it. Go ahead and give me praise. He ain't gonna get it. No, Jesus says, what I hate all my life when I'm going through something, folk just say, well, praying for you. They ain't never done that for y'all. You know what? If somebody's not going to be part of the solution, don't give them the details of the struggle. Wait a minute, y'all missed that. If somebody's not going to be part of the solution, don't give them the details of the struggle. In other words, if somebody says, you down today? Yeah, why? Say, well, you going to help me get out? What you mean? Well, I can't pay my rent. Hello? I found out, you know how you get rid of people that always want to be in your business? Every question, this is your response. Why do you want to know? That'll change every conversation. Look what he says. Watch this. Number 3, write this down. God provides an answer before Satan presents a problem. Here we go. Here we go. We're wrapping this up. Here we go. Watch this. Jesus looks at Simon, and there's a key word there in verse 32. Watch this. He says in verse 31, they're going to sift you like wheat. He's going to sift you and everything. He said, but I'm praying that your faith would not fail. Watch this. And Jesus gives Simon a prophetic word, a promise before the problem shows up. Before Satan starts messing with Simon, Jesus tells him the future. Jesus says, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when? Wait, am I by myself? Can y'all see what I'm talking about? Jesus says there's going to be a sifting. There's going to be a struggle. There's going to be adversity. But when? What are you saying, Bishop Brown? This is what I'm saying. I don't care what the devil's doing. Jesus is telling Simon, you are going to make it out of this situation. You will bounce back. That's what I love about Psalms 23. Pastor Cheryl, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me to lie down in green pastures. Leave me stretch the waters. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. But the next verse says, while I'm in the shadow of the valley of death, he's preparing a table. Why would he be preparing something for somebody that's going to die in the valley? Are y'all in this place this morning? Why would God save something for your future if you weren't going to make it? Watch this. I'm done. Simon, before the devil shows up, I'm telling you, you're going to make it. Who went to college on this front row? You went to college? What's your name? Charlotte. I like the way you did that. Charlotte. Not Charlotte. 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 You went to elementary, right? You went to junior high. You graduated high school. Then you went on to college. Let me ask you a very, very deep and thought-provoking question. Charlotte, have you ever been given a test by a teacher that had not already informed you of the information? Never. Charlotte, you just said never. So in other words, every time you've been tested, you had already gotten what you needed to know for the test. So Charlotte, if you fail the test, it's because between getting it and the battle, Charlotte, you forgot. Oh, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. You turn loose. You let go of what you already had. Jesus said, Simon, I'm praying that you'll hold on to your faith. Number four, I'm done. It's it. I'm done. Watch this. It's in the text. He says, after you are converted, when you're converted, strengthen thy brethren. Oh, Lord. So watch this, y'all. The sifting, here's number four. The sifting is really a shifting. Wait, what? Simon, the devil has decided to have you to sift you as wheat. But I pray that your faith won't fail you. And when you are converted, in other words, you're not going to be consumed, you're going to be converted. He says, I'm not going to let it consume you. I'm going to let it convert you. It's going to be something that benefits you when it's all over with. Let's see. Y'all still haven't gotten what I'm saying. Not too long ago, I went to buy my wife a car. And so when I went to get her a car, I went to the dealership. And when I drove up, I saw this beautiful car. And the salesperson was outside that I deal with. I said, "Hey, Alan, how's it going?" He said, "Hey, Pastor Brown, how you doing?" I said, "I'm good." I said, "I want to look at this car right here. This is it." I said, "This is the one." He said, "All right." He goes inside. He gets the keys. I get in it. I drive, test drive it. I mean, you know, that new car smell, leather. I mean, Bluetooth, everything, which I don't know how to use, but it's Bluetooth. It's got computers and voice activation and all the stuff. I mean, it was bad to the bone, man. I thought to myself, man, my wife's gonna love this car. She's gonna love this car. I'm gonna be blessed for several months. Several months of gratitude and, you know, every time I look at this car and she says, "What can I do for you?" Really? For real, though? For real. So I said, "This is it. This is it." He said, "Let's go inside and let's do the paperwork." I said, "All right." So I'm walking inside to get the paperwork done. And Pastor Cheryl, as I'm walking to his desk, I see another car. The other car is on the showroom floor. "Wait a minute." I said, "Alan, what about this car?" He said, "That's the identical car that's outside." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "That's the same. That's the identical car. It's got all the same bells and whistles." That he said, you getting impressed with everything?" I said, No. He said, "Yeah." He said, "Same seats, same leather, same everything. Everything's the same." I said, "No, it's not." He said, "Yeah." I said, No. I said, watch this. I sat in the car. He said, "See, it's all the same." I said, "You don't get what I'm meaning." He said, "What?" I said, "This is not a coupe. This is a convertible. Because when I was in the coupe, I had a restriction on how high I could go. But when I got in the convertible," did y'all see me get in the convertible? "When I got in the convertible and I sat down." Oh, y'all ain't hearing me. He said, "Well, I got one just like it outside if you want to test drive it." I said, "Yes." So I went outside and I got in the driver's seat and I got in that convertible. And you know what I love about a convertible? Watch this, y'all. I'm sitting there and he goes, "All right." He goes, here's how you do the convertible. And this is what Jesus told Simon. Y'all got 60 more seconds. This is what Jesus told Simon. He said, "When this is over with, you started out a coupe. But," he said, "by the time it's over, you're going to be a convertible." And watch this, is what I love about the convertible. You say, "Oh, I know what you love about the convertible. That means you can go as high as you want to go. That means you can just do whatever you want to do. That means the sky is the limit. Oh, yeah, that's all good. That's all sugar and icing on the cake. But that ain't what I love best about the convertible. What I love best about a convertible is when you press that button, no convertible ever goes into your future." Yeah, no, they don't see it yet. They don't see it yet, Bishop. In other words, when I press that button, what was limiting me is not going into my future. It's lifting off of me and going into my past. Oh, come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, your trouble is about to end up in your trunk. Tell the devil, you push me down, but I'm about to bounce back." Grab eight people and say, "I'm on my way back, I'm on my way back, I'm on my way back." Shout, yeah! Say yes! I'm done. Watch this. You know, the thing is, we got folk that come to church and they like these basketballs. They all identical. She can give God praise. You can give God praise. You can lift your hands. She can lift her hands. You can say hallelujah. Go ahead. Preach it. Go on. Preach it. Is this that? Everybody can do the same thing. We think everybody got the same everything. You don't. You don't. I don't care how much you look just alike. See, there's a difference. Because, see, this is what's going to make the difference in your life for a bounce back. See, this basketball. Somebody said, well, it ain't got no air in it. No, it ain't. It ain't just about air. Let me tell you what it's about. To have bounce back. Watch this. What they call it is pressure. It's not air. There's thousands of pounds of air floating around your head. But when it starts getting inside of you and it starts building up like pressure, God said, I feel like running in this Baptist church. God said, every time the enemy pushes you down because of pressure, you go. I said, you're gonna. Touch five people, say, I'm about to bounce back. Sisters in here. Stay right there. I'm done. Don't rush me. None of y'all got to go. I got to go all the way to Waco and do preach and sing all over again. And we all know there ain't nothing in Waco, Texas. Ain't nothing. Baylor University. Watch this. Everybody say, bounce back. He says to Simon, when you're converted, I love this, Pastor Cheryl. After you're converted, which is not an easy thing, and it's in your past, he tells Simon, because converted is a comma, which means an unidentified pause. Conversion ain't happening overnight. You got to be willing to let God work it out. He put a comma after converted. He said, when you're converted, watch what he says. The reason I'm all excited about my bounce back, if I wasn't going to be stronger after the problem and the struggle, how could I strengthen anybody else? So obviously Jesus is telling Simon, this sifting is not going to weaken you. It's going, Pastor Tom, to strengthen you. But let me tell you something. If you don't ever get to the place of victory over your pain, you will never benefit another brethren. Because down the road, Pastor Tom, there's going to be another pastor that is sitting in your seat, and God's going to be depending on you to look at him and say, you can make it. You can get back on your feet. You can still say God heals. You can still say God delivers. You can still say God is able. You can still say God will make a way. Somebody shout, I will. Bounce back! I got two campuses, and on a Wednesday night, I told my pastor at the second campus, which is 2 hours from Orlando, I said, don't worry about it. I got it tonight. Well, I went all day Wednesday and forgot all about it. Finally, I said, oh my God. Nobody's going to be at the second campus that preaches or anything. So I got in my car and I hit the turnpike. I said, if I can make it by 7:45. And so I'm flying down that Florida turnpike. When I hit the Fort Pierce exit, I looked in my rearview mirror and there was police lights in my rearview mirror. So I pulled over and this police officer, I thought was going to get out of his car and come to my window and knock on the window, you know. And I'm sitting there. I put my window down and the police officer says, steps out, opens his door, pulls that little microphone out. He says, passenger, driver, he said, put both of your hands out of the window. Do not open the door. So I put both my hands out the window because Black Lives Matter. I wasn't going to let him pull a gun and shoot me. Put both my hands out. He said, now, driver, open the door with your right hand outside of the car. So I opened the door. He said, now get out, put your hands on your head, turn your back to me, and walk backwards until I tell you to stop. I mean, I'm in some trouble, y'all. And I'm walking like this. And when I see my trunk, he says, stop, take three steps to the right. He said, now, put your hands on the back of the trunk. He comes up behind me. He says, you got anything in your pockets that's going to cut me or hurt me or whatever if I check you? I said, no. So, boy, he starts searching me and pulls my phone out and lays it on the trunk, starts patting me down. He said, turn around and keep your hands behind your back or I'm going to cuff you. I said, sir, I think you made it. He said, shut up. He don't realize he's talking to a bishop. Care about his badge. And Clintisha wanted to rise up in me. He said, do you realize how fast you were driving? And of course, you know, I lied. I said, I don't know. I have no idea. He said, well, I clocked you at 128 miles an hour on this turn. 65 mile an hour speed limit. He said, can I ask you a question? I said, yes, sir. He said, where are you going? Such a hurry. I said, church. He did. Okay. Church. Why do you need to get to church so quick? I said, I'm the pastor. I'm the preacher. I'm the singer. I do it all. And there's nobody there. They're waiting on me right now. He said, you got any identification that you're a preacher or any kind of certificate or any kind of card? I said, no. And then I thought, I said, can I grab my phone? He said, slowly. I grabbed my phone. I YouTube myself. So I YouTube myself. And I showed him who I was. He looked at it. He said, yeah, that's you. I guess that's you. He said, what's the address of the church? I gave it to him. He said, follow me. He got in front of me and gave me an escort to the building, flying down the road. And Bishop Brady, I was so excited. I was so excited. And I got out of my car. He goes, no. He goes, let me ask you a question. I said, yes, sir. He goes, what's the title of your sermon tonight? Well, I didn't have a sermon. I was just showing up. I was going to do like your bishop did in Georgia. I was just going to fall out on the stage and everybody think I'm caught up in the Holy Ghost. He did it. Y'all ought to see that. Pastor Cheryl's playing the keyboard. Bishop's laying down. And here's Pastor Cheryl. Joby, I know that you ain't out in the Holy Ghost. Get up. She did it. He said, what you preach tonight, let me tell you something. See, what comes out of you is that new thing that rises out of you, that prophetic thing. I wanted to just stand there, but I was paralyzed, but it came out of me. I didn't have nothing else to say, but I spoke it from my spirit. I said, my sermon tonight? He said, yeah, what is it tonight? I said, My sermon title tonight is God Can Get You Out of Anything. That's what I'm preaching. I said, thank you so much for understanding. He said, what do you mean? I said, I just appreciate it. He goes, I ain't going nowhere. He come, got out, and sat in the last seat in my church. Now I got to preach God will get you out of anything, and I ain't got no notes on it. So when the music got to a little high, I just grabbed the mic. I said, has anybody ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace? Somebody say God can get you out of anything. Anybody ever heard of Daniel in the lion's den? Look at your neighbor. That's the wrong neighbor. Look at your other neighbor. Say neighbor. Oh, neighbor. God. I was trying everything I knew. I mean, I even like, a month later, I'm walking through my office, and my secretary says, Bishop, a state trooper stopped by and left this card and said, you need to call him. I'm like, oh, man. I called him. He said, this is Bishop Brown. I said, yes. He said, I'm the state trooper that stopped you in Fort Pierce. I said, yes, sir. He said, I want you to know something. I grew up all my life Jehovah's Witness. He said, I haven't been to church in 30 years. He said, and when you got through preaching, he said, I walked to my squad car. I took my cell phone up and called my brother in Colorado Springs at MD Anderson Hospital where his wife was laying with stage 4 cancer. He said, I told him, I said, put the phone by her ears. She mumbled hello, and he said, I didn't call to mess up you, your rest. I didn't call to take up your time. I called to tell you one thing. God can get you out of anything. And he said, are you preaching Sunday? I said, yes. He said, I want to visit your church. I said, great. Sunday, my head usher, Woody, came to me and pulled my arm. He said, Bishop, there's a state trooper here. I said, oh, good. I've got a seat prepared for him. He said, no. There's 3 of them, not just him. I said, well, let's make room. I turned around, looked down the aisle. He's walking down the aisle. He's got his hand on the back of a lady and another man's with him. And before he can shake my hand, he reaches out and takes her hand and says, Bishop Brown, he said, I want you to meet my sister-in-law that was supposed to be dead 2 weeks ago. But because what you said and what you deposited on the inside of me, tell me God can't take. Telling you to break the law. I'm not telling you to do something wrong, but God can take a bad situation and all things work together. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, no matter what it is, you will bounce back. Who believes it? Driving in my car the other day, I don't know why God laid this on my heart this morning, but I'm driving in my car the other day, and all of a sudden, help me a little bit, Brother Chris, all of a sudden, a light came on in my car, and it started going like this, ding, and it showed the bottom of my car with 4 wheels, and it said 38, 38, 38, 37. I said, what is that? I pressed okay. It left. I wasn't worried about it. Next time I turned my car off, got back in my car, turned it on. Ding. 38. 38. 38. 36. Okay. Because that's what we do with trouble. We think if we can ignore it, no, you'll never be able to increase unless you learn how to endure it, not ignore it. The next day I turned my car on, bing, 38, 38, 38, 34. Didn't worry about it. Got to the office. One of my staff members got in the car. We're going to lunch. Bing. 38. 38. 38. 33. My staff member said, Bishop, you know what that is, right? I said, no, I don't know, but it's irritating. But every time I press okay, it goes away. He said, Bishop, that is telling you that you have three tires with 38 pounds of pressure in them, but you have a right rear tire that has been reduced to now 33 pounds of pressure. And if you don't match the pressure, the vehicle is going to be in jeopardy, and it might even take out your life or someone else's. You need to add pressure to the wheels so that when it hits a bump in the road, it bounces back. And the last thing you want is a car or a life out of balance. Because you can say it all day long like the prophetess Carrie Underwood said, Jesus, take the wheel. Go ahead and take your hands off your wheel. If your car starts doing like this, you've got a different pressure in those wheels. You need an alignment, and you need the same amount of pressure in all your wheels to keep balance and straight on the highway of life. And I asked God, I said, God, just speak to my spirit. And God, I wanted God to tell me there's 100 people that's going to sow a $1,000 seed in here, but he didn't do that. I felt in my spirit, God said, tell every person that wants to come out of their pressurized situation like a diamond, to come out of their pressurized situation like a basketball. He said, challenge them to sow a $38 seed. I showed it to you all week so you would see it. I want every person in this building under the sound of my voice that you want to bounce back in your life, get a $38 seed in your hand. You say, Pastor Glenn, is this going to give me a bounce back? Faith will. Faith does. I'm just giving you a goal to shoot for, a target that will challenge your spirit. It may not challenge everybody in here. Well, good. You sow $380 if you want. It may challenge some people. But I'm telling everybody in this building, get it in your hand, get it in your hand. If you need an envelope, raise your hand real high, 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 real high. If you're giving by way of your phone, just wave your phone at me and say, Bishop, I'm doing it, I'm doing it.